Comics.
Movies.
Music.
Video games.
Technology.
Blu-ray.
Television.
This is the HHW LOD Podcast Network.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com.
Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/outnowpodcast.
Over 150,000 titles to choose from for your Android, iPhone, Kindle, or MP3 player. This week on Out Now with Aaron and Abe, we're talking Neil Blomkamp's Chappie.
Aw, how nice.
Wait a minute, I forgot my introduction.
We are now recording, and this is Out Now with Aaron and Abe. I am Aaron, and as always, this is...
Abe, hello, hi.
Out Now is a film podcast with Abe and I discussing new movies weekly. We cover some various movie topics, jump into a mostly spoiler-free review, and then jump back into other fun movie topics. This is episode 182
Dalmatians.
Ooh. That, yep.
That's the one that followed up, right?
Yeah, that's what they called it, yeah.
Oh, yeah, great.
It was the natural choice. Yeah, so we're 182, that's the episode here, and the main feature this week we are talking is Chappie. The latest sci-fi thriller film from director Neil Blomkamp, and joining us tonight from Wrath Reviews, he is no reject, but he has been crushed. It's Jordan Wrath.
Hello, everybody.
Who crushed you? Tell me who crushed you.
When did this crushing happen?
You know. and...
I don't remember.
From, I don't even know anymore, some refer to him as the Moose, it's Jordan Grout.
Oh, hello.
How are you doing?
Great, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I should get right into that. I should get into why I'm very well, guys.
Why are you very well?
At the end of this podcast, we generally go over where you can find more of our work, and I say Why So Blue, because I've been writing for the site Why So Blue for the past 5 years, and I'm happy to do it. But... things are changing in the world of me. I got a new job, which begins tomorrow, and I will be writing as a staff writer for rantlifestyle.com. So that's happening, and that's where you're going to be able to find a lot of work for me, because I'm literally going to report to the office to write about movies and entertainment and what have you for, you know, the week. Yeah, which
and still... every, you know, now and again, a sports article, maybe?
Oh, yeah, like all those sports
like
articles.
We discussed.
Yeah. Well, I'll be working for the site Rant Lifestyle, and I'm very excited to do so. So that's a change going on with me, and I figured it applies to this podcast. So there you go.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Congratulations.
Thank you. You know,
I'm quite
hard.
Jealous.
I work hard. I'm
sweet.
Happy. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I appreciate it. All I had to do was, you know, crush all the little people in my way, but I got there. I do plenty of hard work, and I'm happy to, you know, try to go move on to the next venture, so we'll see where that takes me. What else? We have a new commentary coming this month, because we do a commentary every month, and we have one that's going to be timed with a very certain release that comes at the beginning of April. I'll just leave it there for now. You might figure out what we're
is
talking
it a furious
about.
Release?
You might say so.
Is this really furious?
You may say so.
Okay.
But there's we've already done one Fast and Furious film as a commentary, so who knows which one we'll do next. But I'm aware that Brandon, of course, will join us. Hopefully Abe will be there, as opposed to the Terminator commentary.
I slipped in for a little brief second.
Yeah, he slipped in a bit. And hopefully Maxwell Haddad's going to be joining us for this upcoming commentary, so that should be a lot of fun. What else? iTunes reviews and ratings, good to get those. Helps out our show, helps other people find our show. All you have to do is log into iTunes, search Out Now with Aaron and Abe, and you can find our show and click the little review rating tab, give us a little rating, and maybe even write us a little review. It doesn't take much time, and it would help Abe and I out tremendously. We appreciate
it. Yeah,
it
would.
There's that. And let's see, what else? Last thing, I also co-host the Ichapod Crankcast, a friend of the show, Maxwell and Brandon, who I previously mentioned, and that was a podcast covering the show Sleepy Hollow on Fox. We recorded, I think, what is going to be our last episode of the Ichapod Cranecast.
No.
We don't.
But
know.
It's not because of you guys.
Well, it kind
it's
of is.
The show, right?
No, we don't know.
Oh,
it's kind right. of it's kind of because of us.
Show kind of going off the rails there, huh?
Well, the show ended its second season. It has not yet been renewed for a third season, so we don't know if it's if that's going to happen. And even regardless, it takes a lot of effort to put together these podcasts, and We just, you know, we weren't digging the second season nearly as much as the first season, although it did end quite strong. So if the show becomes, you know, if it gets a third season and it, you know, becomes vastly improved, then maybe we'll continue doing it. But for the time being, I don't think we're going to be continuing that program. So
what people will remember is the amazing podcast name.
Yeah, I mean, it was the best titled Sleepy Hollow podcast out there. That was our claim to fame on the Ichabod Crane cast, of course.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. But, you know, we're all moving on. Brandon's doing plenty of stuff. He's on his own. Max will just start his own podcast, Real Topics. And, you know, I'm crushing little people getting new jobs. So who cares, right? The Ichabod Crane cast, whatever.
Aw.
I kid. I appreciate all the listeners that listen to the Ichabod Crane cast. We certainly had a fun time doing it when we did it. All right. All that's done. Let's move on now. Let's get to the show here. Let's get to a little Know Everybody, where each week we ask each other a question or two and open it up to everyone in the panel, set the tone for the podcast, or better get to Know Everybody.
What?
I don't even where were
I don't even know what happened there. I was there. I said it.
Okay.
All right.
Why don't you start this one off, dude?
All right. So for everybody, if Neil Blomkamp makes another movie, where do you think he'd set it?
Space.
North Africa?
North. Best answer. Yeah. Space is pretty good too, but well, North Africa would be amazing.
Given that he's, you know, directing Alien 5, that it seems like space is the right answer.
Well, I was going to say, what's the specific universe of Alien 5?
In the, somewhere,
it could take place in Texas. You never know.
Somewhere between LV-145 and LV-367. How about that?
There you go.
That's pretty good.
Did you say Texas, Jordan?
Yeah, it could. You don't know.
You're right. This summer, Ripley's back. And this time.
In Austin. With live music.
It'll be set in Texas, but everyone will still have South African accents.
Yes. With subtitles at the bottom.
Charlotte Copley is the xenomorph in.
I've got acid blood.
I have a question. Who is a director that you like who largely doesn't change?
Largely doesn't change.
Mm-hmm. And I mentioned this because obviously we have Neil Blomkamp's new film, which once again involves South Africa, various turmoil happening in South Africa, right. Various gang activities, action, violence, and the sci-fi element. And I'm curious, what directors out there that you like really like every time you see his movies, but he largely doesn't seem to evolve very much? Not necessarily in terms of, there you go, not necessarily in terms of kind of quality of film, but just in terms of like stylistic choices and like you can immediately identify.
A big fan of Wes Anderson.
Wes Anderson is a...
Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah.
J.J. Abrams, kind of.
Abrams is a good pick, I think, because I feel like you can... Like, with Wes Anderson and Tarantino, you can see kind of the quality of the film. And again, it's not necessarily about the quality, but you can see, like, I would say Bottle Rockets towards the bottom of the list in terms of Wes Anderson films, and it's also his first movie. But all his movies still look fairly similar. But they, I feel like he, even though his palette's the same, it's still, there's been an evolution of that director. Although, again, Wes Anderson, that's an ideal pick right there.
Yeah.
A good director that you really like.
Yeah.
Uwe Boll?
Yeah, there you go. Abrams is an interesting one, though, Jordan, because that's one where I wouldn't say, like, the films are necessarily better or worse than when he started, with, like, Mission Impossible 3, you look at Star Trek Into Darkness, you can definitely see it as a J.J. Abrams film all the way through each of them, Super 8 and the other Star Trek movie.
I mean, yeah, the lens flare gives it away.
That definitely does. But it's not
like most of Tony Scott's films, although he's no longer with us, but...
But even he changed. I mean, you look at his movies and they...
Yeah.
I mean, after Enemy of the State, everything went crazy.
But in each period of his career, I liked all his styles.
I feel like David Fincher would be maybe another one. He has some that are all kind of very similar style, and he always picks these dark stories for the most part.
I can agree with you there. I'd even say, like, Tim Burton almost falls in that kind of... Directors that we can kind of identify by kind of the look of their films, that at the same time Tim Burton's one where, especially in these last few years, it just seems like there's no real difference between the films in terms of directorial style or what have you. Michael Mann?
Terrence Malick?
Malick's a neat one. Again, it's like movies that you can kind of, you can see the Malickness in all of those.
I would say in terms of visual style and just the way the movie goes, it's Christopher Nolan would be another one. You can always tell when you're watching a Christopher Nolan film.
And that's one where I guess like the kind of the flaws that come up are very similar in all of his films, which I would say for most of the ones that we've named already. And if you see certain things as flaws, but even in terms of kind of his storytelling tactics, which is I think something we'll get to very much with Neil Blomkamp and Chappie. That was How You Play.
No, everybody.
Okay.
No, everybody.
Thanks, Jordan. let's do a little Out Now Quickies.
Tim?
Each week on Out Now, we have one main movie week that we talk about. Louis, something we see. Out Now Quickies.
Did you?
I'll be honest. I did a little talking.
A little bit at the end there.
I did a little bit.
Yeah.
I'll give you. I'll let you in on that one.
TM.
Abe, have you seen any other movies this week?
I have not yet, but I'm going to go watch What We Do in the Shadows tomorrow.
You really should have got on that, because we could have talked about it on this podcast.
Yeah, you also at-tweeted me.
Yeah, telling you to see a movie before our movie podcast. It seemed like a good idea.
Timing. That's the story of my life.
Timing. Were you studying up on D. Antwoord's discography in case we talked about it on the
Is that
podcast?
How you pronounce it?
Okay. Yeah.
I was like, Die Antwood? Yeah. But yeah, no, I was listening to all their discs.
Have you learned
crazy.
Anything from The Simpsons? It's not Die Bart Die, it's D Bart.
D Bart. Thanks, Sideshow Bob. But no, yeah, I hope to catch it tomorrow.
Okay. Jordan Rath, have you seen any other movies this week?
No, I was going to go see Unfinished Business, but your review, among others, kind of crushed that for me.
What about recently?
So I decided not to. Recently, I mean, I think the last one I saw was Focus. I've been pretty much only going to one movie a weekend. I did finish House of Cards season 3 yesterday, though.
Oh, did you
so
enjoy
there's
it?
That. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a really solid season, but I was kind of bummed out. Not really a spoiler, but there's just nothing super big that happened, I feel like, except for Claire Underwood's hair changing color.
Giant major spoilers right there, so we'll be sure to bleep that one out.
Oh god!
But I also finished a House of Cards season 3 this past week, and yeah, I'd agree. I do think it's a solid season of television, because that's what you get when you have a lot of very good actors and very well filmed show doing their thing. But yeah, it's not the most, I guess, eventful of how compared to the first two House of Cards seasons, where there's things you could kind of scream out loud. I was like, oh my God, but that not so much on season 3, I would say.
I was really running with the hypothesis that there was going to be a terrorist attack at some point in the season. And I was bummed that it didn't come to fruition.
Well, there's always season 4.
Yeah.
To pray
I guess
for
I
got to
save
attacks.
Seasons. Yeah.
Jordan Grout, have you seen any other movies this week?
I watched Unfinished Business. And it's just the worst. It's really bad. It's not funny at all.
Yeah, it's bad.
It's really bad. There's not one moment where I was enjoying myself.
The best part is you say Unfinished Business, and I have a feeling that like no one knows what that movie is just by saying that title. I don't know. Besides like us, because we do this and people that watch movies. I feel like saying Unfinished Business is like the most generic possible title you could have for any movie. Like what?
It's
what
an 80s movie starring Jean-Claude Van Damme.
It easily could be. It could be a Buster Keaton movie from the 20s about him building something. Like there's
being
like, what
Adam
movie
comedy.
Is this? Unfinished Business is this terrible comedy starring Vince Vaughn, Dave Franco, and comedy legend Tom Wilkinson. And they go to Germany on business, and pretty much every cliche that you've seen happen to other people that go to Germany that are American in bad raunchy comedies happens to them in this movie. Although I will give the movie credit, because Dave Franco, who plays a mentally challenged character, by the way, because that's
explicitly mentioned, right?
Oh, it's so embarrassing.
He at one point slips and falls into Nick Frost's penis just because that didn't happen.
Yep. That makes me want to go see it right away, then,
just,
I guess.
Just face first, because Nick Frost happens to have his penis in a glory hole, as you do. And Dave Franco like walks 2 steps, but because people can't walk, he just slips and falls at random and just falls face first into it, and we get a good close up on that, because life happens.
Poor Dave Franco.
And the whole movie was just set up with no payoff. Like
Unfinished Business is an appropriate title.
Yeah, and like with him being in the hotel, part of the art display, like, okay, so I kept thinking, okay, this is going to go somewhere. And it never does. He's just kicked out eventually.
Yeah, Vince Vaughn, there's no hotels in Germany at one point because there's like a marathon and like a convention, all this stuff happening on the same time. So they like get these really weird hotels. One is where he has to live in an art exhibit that's also a hotel. And yeah, that's the whole thing. I've described what happens with that. He just lives in a hotel that happens to also be an art exhibit. There's no joke there.
Yeah, and then they crash their car trying to swerve away from a reindeer, and that's just nothing.
The Unfinished Business. This title gets better and better actually because of how just little the payoff there is. They're cruising down the Autobahn, and there's a reindeer, and so they obviously swerve out of the way, and their car does a corkscrew, and then the next scene is just them like getting out of the car. Unfazed, obviously, and then the next scene is they've arrived via taxi somewhere else, so we never hear anything about what happened to that.
I mean, that's exactly what happens in Germany, right? So that's, I mean, they're not lying.
It is a horrible movie.
It is. And that's a pretty good cast. James Marsden's in it.
James Marsden, yeah.
Sienna Miller, June Diane Raphael.
Interesting.
It has talented people.
Well.
They all lost a big bet.
We'll see how True Detective works out.
And it's written by Stephen Conrad, who wrote the Weatherman.
Was it truly worse than Hot Tub Time Machine 2?
Yes. It is.
Oh, God.
Wow. It is. It's
so glad I didn't see it then.
I found out that it was the same director as Delivery Man.
Yeah, the last Vince Vaughn film.
A movie you have to tell him what that is too. A movie I really disliked as well. I wish I would have known that before going in. I probably wouldn't have seen it.
Delivery Man's another title where you could say that applies to pretty much anything.
I mean, that's like any Kevin James movie, right? Delivery Man.
I guess. Really hit Kevin James hard for some reason.
No, I was just like, yeah, whenever I think of Delivery Man, I'm thinking of Kevin James because it's King of Queens. It's like, yeah, sure.
Oh, okay. God, I almost want to save what we do in the shadows. I've seen a number of things. I'll talk about another thing though. I'll say that what we do in the shadows is very much worth seeing. It's a new, it's a mockumentary featuring Jermaine Clement of the Flight of the Conchords and his very funny New Zealand friends who made a movie together called What We Do in the Shadows, which is a vampire mockumentary in the vein of something like Spinal Tap or Best in Show. Very much worth checking out if you can find it. But I will talk more at length about Clouds of Silmaria. This is a film that's probably going to be best known as the film that Kristen Stewart won a Caesar Award for, but it should be known for much more than that, beyond the fact that she is very good in the film. The film stars her and Juliette Binoche. Juliette Binoche plays an actress, and Kristen Stewart's her assistant, and it's a very subdued drama. Binoche, she's kind of been recruited to play a role. She plays an actress in the film, and she made her claim to fame like 20 years prior by playing a role in a play and a film that features two female characters, and she played the younger of the two characters. Now 20 years later, she's been basically recruited to play the older version of that character, and that leads into this kind of look into the life of how she's evolved as a person in the time since she's became a big actor. And it's a very good movie, very well written, very well acted. Chloe Grace Moretz is also in the film, and she's also very good. And she's someone that I've questioned in the past. I know, Abe, you're aware of this.
That's come up on the podcast.
Yes, but all it took was an obscure independent film for me to be proven that some of these people are actually good, talented actors. I believe that comes out sometime in like late March in limited release, but that's The Clouds of Silmaria.
Great.
Very good-looking film, too. It's shot in – it takes place in Germany. Actually,
so there's an antler in the highway.
Yeah, there's definitely.
Or a reindeer.
Right. No, just the antler. That's a deleted scene. They ate everybody the reindeer except the antlers. all right, so that was that quick.
Yeah.
Let's move on now. Let's get to movie trailer talk, where we discuss one of the newest trailers of the week and when it comes out and what we thought of it, what have you. And this week we are talking about Ex Machina. This is a film about AI, about a robot. It stars friend of the show, Domino Gleason, of course, at this point, Abe, right?
He's a friend of the show now?
Of course, why not?
Domino? All right, cool.
Alicia Vikander, and Oscar Isaac. And the film was written and directed by Alex Garland, who has previously written such films, 28 Days Later, Dread, and Sunshine. And this is his directorial debut. And yeah, all that's out there. I'm going to start with Grout first. Grout, what did you think of this trailer?
I'm really looking forward to the movie, but I really don't like the trailer. It was like putting me to sleep. But the more I read about the film, I'm excited for it. I love good old AI. So any film about robots, I'll be there. I love Sunshine. And what else he wrote? The Beach and...
Oh, The Beach.
Yeah, I like The Beach too. So
they made a beach too?
Well, that is... it works. Okay. It's after...
They actually go to Cancun in that one.
Yeah, I'm excited for this movie.
Raph, what'd you think of the trailer?
Yeah, I'm also pretty excited for it. I thought the trailer kind of went off on a weird sexual tangent that I guess I didn't really hypothesize it was going to go. But that being said, it looks pretty good, and it's kind of funny that it's this trailer and Chappie in the same week, because I feel like they're both pretty similar movies. There's kind of a theme this whole like movie year of artificial intelligence. I don't really get it, but then you have like Ultron later in the year. But I thought it looked really cool, and it looks like a really pretty movie at least. So hopefully the plot is a little bit better than Chappie's.
Chappie. I thought the movie trailer was kind of intense. It kind of gets into that territory of weird thriller / psychoses, and it kind of made me want to go see it. I mean, I was on board already, but for the most part, it does look visually very good. I'm just curious as to what happens and what the plot twists might be. I'm also curious that he also wrote Never Let Me Go, which is a book I've read. And
have you seen that?
I haven't seen the film.
Check out that film, Abe. That is a very good movie.
And Domhnall Gleeson's also in that. But yeah, no, it's something that looks intriguing enough for me just to go and check it out.
I'm in the Oscar Isaac fan club at this point, so in anything he's involved with, I'm kind of going to be there. And you know, he's bald with a beard in this movie, so it's like, that's like extra points, right? That's how that works. but I'm also a big fan of Domhnall Gleeson. And I don't think Alicia Vikander could star in anything worse than Seventh Son this year. So all those things kind of line up and make me think, yes, I do want to see this very intriguing-looking film from a writer that I tend to enjoy quite a bit. And I'm curious to see what his directorial vision will be like as well. But yeah, Ex Machina looks I agree with what Abe, you were saying, in terms of kind of how it's handling the psychoses mixed with kind of this thriller bent in this sci-fi world. I'm very intrigued by that. So we'll see how that goes. And Ex Machina hits theaters April 10th. I will probably believe in a limited release, but hopefully it spreads throughout the month of April. And we'll see. All right, so that was trailer talk. And now I think it's time. Finally, guys. I mean, this has been...
We're going there.
This has been years in the making. It's time for our review of Chappie.
Yeah.
Chappie
likes the pain.
You are Chappie.
Chappie.
It's like a child. It has to learn.
What's that? Chappie's book?
Yeah, it's yours.
Chappie's got stories. Chappie's got a book.
Anything you want to do in your life, you can do. Write poetry, have original ideas.
Chappie wants to paint.
Wow.
What in the name of the Lord?
Even a robot's a big problem for me.
A thinking robot could be the end of mankind.
Destroy that robot. Burn it to ash.
That should have been some of the trailer for Chappie. This is the third film from director Neil Blomkamp, who wowed people with the 2009 Best Picture nominee, District 9, left people wondering about how wowed they really were with 2013's Elysium, and now continues to have people pondering what they originally appreciated about him with this hybrid film of RoboCop and Short Circuit. The film features Blomkamp mainstay Charlton Copley as a robot named Chappie, living in a future Johannesburg and learning how to think, feel, and love. As the new AI designed by his creator, Dev Patel, is the kind of game changer that frightens evil military robot designer Hugh Jackman. Is Chappie alive? Jordan Rath, what did you think of the film Chappie?
Chappie was one of those films that I was kind of like, I read your review and I read a few other reviews and I was like, I really hope they're wrong. Because I was one of the few people who both loved District 9 and Elysium. I really liked both those movies. I was kind of never really intrigued by the trailers for Chappie. And I remember months and months and months ago, I heard that, oh, Neil Blomkamp is making a comedy. And I was like, well, that's kind of weird. He doesn't really seem like a comedy director. And it just kind of seems like...
And he's not.
No, he's not. I mean, it seems like it kind of got stuck somewhere in between of his normal, like, awesome sci-fi movie and an attempt at comedy. And the thing that really just killed the film for me was just the creative choices in the movie. Like, for example, having the Antwoord, or however you... Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, I believe that's...
The right. South African rap group. I mean, I'm not a big fan of their music, but nothing against them. But it's like... You have them as not only your central characters, but your central plot driving devices. And it was just like a method in which that he told his story that I would have never thought was a good way to tell that story. Like making Chappie a gangster and everything like that. It just didn't work for me. And I thought the last 30 minutes was probably the most like Blomkamp-esque part of the film. And that was like pretty much the only time I was really into the film. I mean, I was enjoying myself pretty much the whole time, to a certain degree. It wasn't a movie I'd need to watch again, but the last 30 minutes I really enjoyed. It felt like something out of District 9 or Elysium, but just the whole process up to that, I was just like, why did he make some of these choices? Jordan so for Grout, me, it was really the creative design choices that brought it down.
Fair enough. Jordan Grout, what are your thoughts on the Blomkamp films we've seen so far, and what do you think of Chappie?
Well, I love District 9, and I really liked Elysium more than most people. I didn't love it, but I watched it a few nights ago, and I think it's entertaining. It's enjoyable. It has its flaws, but I feel like Chappie is a comedy. I feel Blomkamp was trying to do a parody of action films, and I sincerely believe that every single scene in the film is supposed to be like a mockery of modern action films. Everything is so over the top and so absurd, and lines that just make no sense at all, that I feel like it's just his weird way of doing sort of like, I mean, not as goofy as like a Zucker Brothers parody, but it's in that same family almost, from the Ed 209 type robot called Moose, which is like just absurd but hilarious, and even the casting of De Antwoord or however you pronounce it, and even Hans Zimmer's score, how it's just it's good, but at points it's so inappropriate for what's going on, and I feel that was the point of everything. Like, oh, here's something that you're supposed to think it's cool because it's so over the top, like the Moose character, but it's not. It's so stupid, and everything in the movie is intentionally absurd.
We'll get into the
nitty gritty of it.
So. Abe, your thoughts?
For the most part, Neil Blomkamp, I really enjoyed District 9. I remember watching it on an airplane going to New Zealand.
The ideal way to do it.
Yes, exactly. On a 5-inch screen behind someone's headrest. And at least I had good headphones. I wasn't huge on Elysium, and this movie is like a visually stunning movie. The CGI, the AI, and motion capture and whatever else works very well. I mean, the machines, they work seamlessly in the picture. It's not as though I ever questioned like, oh wow, you know, well that doesn't look real at all. It looks very good, but it's just that it's like a movie that was written by a 13-year-old, and I say that because I have these characters here that are in this ridiculous premise that they have to owe a drug guy $20 million in 7 days or else they're going to die. Hilarious. And they decide that they're going to go capture the guy who makes the robot, the police robots.
Abe, don't you remember when you were a kid when you used to play cops and drug dealers?
This makes exactly. I would write the same movie. But their logic is, okay, well, we'll go find the off button for these robots, and then we'll go and heist this thing and get $20 million, and so that we don't die. But for the most part, these characters are unlikable. I don't like any of them. There's no real reason for me to like them, because when they capture Dev Patel, they beat him up, and they're gonna kill him. And then all of a sudden, the third act of the movie, I'm supposed to feel sorry for them? I'm supposed to feel like I should have been rooting for them all along? No, that's ridiculous. And then there's also just the story is just pretty poorly written. I think the dialogue is just absolutely horrific. There's a waste of Hugh Jackman. His motivations in the movie are ridiculous. He just wants to get his project going. At one point, he pulls a gun on a coworker in an office space and pulls the trigger. I mean, come on.
No repercussions, though. It's okay.
Yes, exactly. Everyone's just like, yeah, just go back to work. And, you know, but again, visually, Neil Blomkamp, he does amazing things. I mean, even with Charlotte Copley in Elysium, with the weapon choices and whatever else, very, very cool. I mean, it looks fantastic. I can see why they wanted him to do, like, the Halo series and whatever else, because he's got this stuff going down pat. But story-wise, I mean, I don't know what's going on. And this kind of goes into the realm of what we talked about with Clint Eastwood a few weeks back of, like, does he get a pass because of past things that he's done? Or is it just that all of his movies have been like this and I was just kind of super enamored with District 9 to not see through it?
I mean, you bring up some interesting points there, and I honestly think there's just a lot more working with District 9 than what we've been seeing. And I like Elysium enough. I like it to a point. I see its flaws, and it doesn't hold up as well on repeat viewings, but I still appreciate a lot about it. This movie, Chappie.
Chappie.
You mentioned, you guys bring up a lot of great points. One that I like is that you brought up that it was supposed to be a comedy, and that's what I remember hearing too. It was supposed to be kind of, it's like sci-fi comedy that was, you know, a step away from the kind of intense sci-fi stuff he's been doing. And I don't know where that was here. And Deont Word, they play gangster characters that kidnap Dev Patel's robotic engineer character to make him do one thing, but then it turns out that he's created this new AI, which leads to Chappie's creation. Deont Word, I was gonna say, like, at least they were consistent throughout the movie, but they're not, because then the third act kicks in and, like, it's a whole new game field here, and there's so much inconsistency throughout this movie. The story is very sloppy. I mean, you have Dev Patel, who I mentioned gets kidnapped, is allowed to basically freely come and go as he pleases to the gangsters that kidnapped and beat him, because why not? You mentioned that Hugh Jackman pulls out a gun in the office. Pretty much everything Hugh Jackman does is, like, the worst possible decision you can make. the visual polish on this film, I don't know what the credit to give is at this point for that kind of thing, because we live in 2015. I mean, I kind of expect movies to look good. Like, it's like, it's rare that I see bad CGI in a movie, and I'm glad that, you know, Blomkamp can make these, you know, cheaper movies that merge the motion capture work with, you know, real life settings and what have you, and that's great and all, but, well, I don't know what to praise about that at this point, unless there's, you know, something that's really truly awe-inspiring, like, you know, Gravity or something. Like, I don't know what Chappie did that's any different from, you know, other movies I've seen recently that incorporate this kind of, you know, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes or something like that. I mean, I don't know what this movie does that makes it all that different, that makes me really want to, you know, make it stand out. So what I'm left with is, you know, how I responded to this movie, and that was poorly. It's just this hodgepodge of ideas that owe a lot to things like RoboCop and Short Circuit, obviously, along with other, you know, WALL-E, a lot of other robot movies, right, in general. But it's just all very poorly done, and it kind of stops and starts. While it's fairly entertaining all the way throughout, I can agree with that, it's still just so, like, just, I have nothing to, like, latch onto, because you're right, Abe, every character is unlikable, including the very charismatic Hugh Jackman. Somehow they make him not likable in this movie. Even as the villain character, he's still, like, there's just nothing there that makes me want to support anything about what he's doing.
Yeah.
Mullet and all. Deont Word is, like, the kind of goofy choice that would, like, in a more competent director's hands could maybe work in some way, because it can embrace the kind of energy they have. But here it's just like, why are we still dealing with these people? When do they go away? And why are there gangsters that have even worse hair than they do? It's just like all these different things that
happen. Yeah, why did Michael Shannon get super buff and go in this movie?
Yeah. Almost seems like it, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, the action is decent enough, but there are so many better ideas here, clearly. Like, just the way the third act takes place, all the things that happen there, it's like in the sprint to, like, get across all these things that the movie didn't have time for because it had too much nonsense going on to get to those things in time. It's just, it's a mess. It's a mess of a movie.
Yeah.
And I support the fact that it's, you know, this original idea, and that it's, you know, sci-fi and it's cheap, and, you know, it it brings people to theaters in it to an extent, although it's number one for this weekend and only made $13 million, which is not terribly great.
But given its budget, it's fine,
but it's like, yeah, I guess people wanted to see this to an extent, but yeah, there was not much to dig into, so yeah, did not enjoy Chappie very much.
It was also one of those things where it felt like it didn't have an end game. Like, the end game for literally 75 to 80% of the movie was they need to pull off the heist in order to not die. And you don't care about these characters, so the end game you don't really care about. And then, like you said, the last, like, 30 minutes, there's a new end game where you're like, oh, well, now this is pretty interesting. But they just sprinted through just all this ridiculousness. And then, I don't know. And, like, it's something that Blomkamp, I love his action. And that's part of the reason why I love Elysium so much, is because he films action in a way that, like, I really enjoy.
I agree.
And there was just, I mean, there's pretty much no action in this film except for the last 30 minutes. I mean, the other action, like, action scenes with quotation marks are, I think you could barely call them action. Right. If you took away the slow-mo, they're not action. Which is fine.
Like, you don't necessarily need action in a movie to make it good, but it's just like the potential it had to be something else. Just being about Dev Patel creating this new AI that makes a robot able to think for itself. Like, that's neat right there.
He's created basically like he's created consciousness, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he goes to the CEO, and the CEO's like, that's not the business that we're in.
Sigourney Weaver
we're in the business of making police robots. We don't want to make something that is life changing. We just want to make police robots for South Africa. And it's like, okay, all right, well, I guess that you could throw away this $1 billion idea and just go and work on the moose.
Matt, listen, this is the work of Dion. It's the work of some filthy rogue program that he's been writing, and last night he brought a droid in here, and it was sentient. Right, and have you seen this? Do you know about this?
I told him no.
One thing I will point out is that it does bring up good questions, albeit very, very compactly and very sporadically throughout the film. Because Chappie has some good questions that he asks about, you know, things, existential questions, like what humans ask sometimes of, like, well, why do we have the ability to lie to each other and hurt each other and whatever else? But the thing is, like, it's all layered underneath all this stupid premise of being a gangster and being the coolest guy on the block and then learning how to be, you know, not a pushover, and basically a family story of a stepfather and your deadbeat real father.
I mean, yeah, so, it's fine. Yeah, it has big questions, but that's the same as saying, like, Optimus Prime asked at one point, where did all the Transformers come from? And then it doesn't go in. Like, who cares if they ask the question? Like, there's no, it just brings stuff up. Like, hey, look at this idea I have. Never mind.
Yeah, and my point is, like, there's so many ideas thrown at this that it doesn't really, I guess, in terms of being a comedy, I could see that because the way that the music cues are going and whatever else. But for the most part, it just has too many questions that a serious movie would really focus in on and hone in on and say, these are the questions that I really, really want to answer for the audience and maybe just leave them thinking about. And instead, it's just throwing everything against the screen there. And again, I say that it's written by a 13-year-old because you have, you know, these characters that are tattooed and they sing and they're also rappers and they're also really cool and they hang out in the wasteland district of RoboCop.
The Onward is the weird, is like such a, like, they play basically themselves apparently, since they wear t-shirts that say D Onward on them and are named after themselves.
And their name, yeah, their name is Yolandi and Ninja. Yeah.
Apparently their career goes very south in 2016.
Yeah. They get mixed up in some drugs. And
yeah, apparently, yeah.
This movie, it's very dumb. That's another thing I just want to say out loud.
That's what
it's a very dumb movie. I mean, yeah. I already talked about the Hugh Jackman pulling out a gun at work thing, which can be a little thing. But then there's also, like, yeah, like, the Dev Patel, like, gets kidnapped, beat up, then just drives away, doesn't say anything to anybody.
No, so it is back. Dumb.
Then there's the let's get to this company that he works for. Where Dev Patel can just freely, the one that has the nerve center for the advanced robot system that polices all of Johannesburg. You can just kind of walk freely in or out of it. No one really seems to mind.
Oh, you've got the access card.
Yeah, he has one little card. No one, there's no questions asked. If you remove the chip that can damage the entire police force, you get an angry message on your answering machine that says, return this now or else there will be consequences. Like, what happens at this company? How did this company get to be so secure?
It's because they owned the city, man. I don't know. But yeah, no, there are a lot of ridiculous questions just like that the movie just brings up for whatever reason. So there's a part where Hugh Jackman's kind of doing his nefarious thing, and then they show the image of the little thumb drive still in his computer, and it's like, oh, they're going to get him that some way. But instead, Dev Patel just goes and confronts him and then kicks a trash can on the way out. So he's like, it's going to come back to you, man. He's just like, what? Who wrote this? Like, this is the stupidest motivation. These are the stupidest actions.
He doesn't report anything.
He doesn't report anything. Yeah. And again, he says, like, you're going to go down, man. It's like, you have all this evidence. You could have gone to the CEO who sits literally 20 feet away from you in this glass door and just say, hey, by the way, I have all this information here that shows I hacked my, or I, you told me to go and figure out what's going on. I figured it out. Somebody was trying, Hugh Jackman was trying to turn off all the robots, and the ID is still in his computer.
Oh boy.
And instead, he just kicks the trash can and goes and
storms away.
Storms away to go back to D Atwood.
I think my favorite scene is when Hugh Jackman is looking at them through his binoculars,
yeah,
and he lowers them, and his point of view is like the same as the binoculars. He's just like a few feet away from them, like hiding out.
It's the kind of thing where I feel like you mentioned the Zucker brothers, but they could pull this kind of thing off. Like they could.
Well, no, I'm not saying like it was successful, but
I'm saying if this was just an over the top, like you're saying, it is an over the top movie. It's just the comedy doesn't really hit. I'm thinking if, you know, comedy directors had like this kind of, you know, this visual style handed to them and just edited things differently, they could probably find the humor that's supposedly supposed to be in what is said to be a comedy to some extent, where you have little things like Hugh Jackman like running around in short shorts and high socks, holding up binoculars, spying on people from 5 feet away.
And just when Patel looks up from his cubicle and Jackman's always glowering at him.
Yeah, he did. That's why the moose doesn't work, because he just spends his time being jealous of Dev Patel. He made one robot like 9 years ago and just keeps like saying,
only
why don't you
one
want this?
Robot. Yeah. And the thing that sucked about it too is the beginning is quite strong. Like the first 10 minutes are very good. You know, they've got the two clips of, you know, whatever Chappie might have brought to them in the future, and then they go 18 months ago and they have the Sting shootout with the robots, and I was like, this is cool. Like, if the movie kept up with that momentum, with that kind of energy, it'd be pretty good. But it just goes into the netherworld,
like
right
the,
after that.
The opening stuff with D Antwoord is not bad. Like, they're not actors, and I wouldn't say like they're awful here, given what they're supposed to be doing as characters. It's just the movie doesn't know what to do with them. It doesn't know what tone it's going for. It doesn't know how to best utilize this kind of goofy energy that's coming from this random rap group that's supposed to be other characters. I got, who's the hero in this? Is it Chappie? Like, who's the hero in this movie?
Supposedly, yeah.
I guess so, right?
Yeah. But again, you know, you get D Ant where they're, when you're introduced to them, you don't think of them as the main characters in this movie, because you just think that this is some sort of scenario to set up Dev Patel's character. But then they become the main characters, and they're not very likable, although there are some points when they're trying to teach Chappie how to be cool and whatever else, which are kind of endearing, but then
because
you
the
know
Chappie
that it's
stuff,
not...
Like, we haven't talked about Chappie at all in all the Chappie talk. Like, Sean Copley does a good job as Chappie.
Does.
Like, that robot, like, did you guys, Jordan and that... Jordan, did you guys like the Chappie work happening?
Oh, of course.
I think Chappie itself is the strongest point of Chappie, just because... I mean, I think that's why a lot of people, I know I've been reading a lot of people say, oh, I really like this movie. It had a lot of heart and everything. And while I somewhat disagree, I think a lot of people fell for Chappie pretty hard. I didn't necessarily fall that hard, but I enjoyed whenever Chappie was on screen. It was fun, but it's, he doesn't necessarily steal the show enough to bring the film out from its problems.
Which is great. That's the perfect way to put it. I mean, there's like Charles Copley does a good job as Chappie. Chappie's animated like very well. You see, you know, the little ticks and stuff in his robot body, the way he's, you know, voiced and the way he learns. Although I think this is more of a script thing than Chappie thing. Chappie, I get that it's an AI, but it seems like there's a lot of jumps in logic in terms of what he's able to accomplish, given that he's a learning robot. Like, at some point he's, you know, he's stealing stuff, and then the next point he's hardwiring several PS4s together to make an ultimate CPU. I don't remember.
I'm glad I'm not the only one that was like, what the hell did
I,
he
I don't
do
remember
here?
When Ninja taught him those
like,
skills.
He really can do that? I mean, we should just do that. Yeah.
Well, Patel, you know, he taught him that in one of those scenes, probably.
for the most part, yeah, I did like Chappie. If it's all mocap, dude, Charlotte Copley, and again, you mentioned Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, there should start to be some sort of recognition for these kinds of performances where they are basically acting. You just don't see them as the way that they are physically formed, you know what I mean? Like, what's his face? Who does Serkis. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes? I can't remember. Yeah, Andy Serkis. He does an amazing job. And so does Charlotte Copley in this one. It's just, you know, I just didn't really think about it until afterward when I read that, hey, Charlotte Copley did some mocap and he had to actually, you know, walk the walk and do whatever else. It's really good.
Chappie.
I like so many moments that were supposed to be emotional. Okay, so there's a scene when Dave Patel,
Dave Patel.
Yeah, stand-up comedian when, Dave Patel.
Dave
Patel. He's talking to Chappie and he's like, oh, you're so much more than I could have ever imagined. And I thought, well, is that a good thing? Because this robot you created is like going out robbing people, like beating people up. I thought that's not really necessarily a good thing. So that's where sort of my idea comes in. It's like all, like every moment is intentionally false. And I feel like, I mean, that moment in particular, it's supposed to be laughable because, first of all, like, it seems like just on a surface level, he's exactly what he wanted. But after he got introduced to the Antwoord, he just became a lot worse. Like, he became, like, the worst case scenario you could ever want for making a robot.
It seems like you're describing like the Paul Verhoeven version where there's a lot of satire in this movie, and it's just not there for me because just none of that worked at all. Like it may be like the skeleton of a satirical futuristic film about Johannesburg and the use of drones essentially. You could like play as this cautionary tale or something, but none of that's really there.
And I really wish someone like Verhoeven would have directed this. I wish that Blomkamp would have been smart enough to realize, like, oh, this can be so much more effective.
Or Blomkamp gets a story credit, and then someone else takes the screenplay duties away from him.
Exactly, yeah.
You think it was, like, the studio execs or something that decided to change it from a comedy? Because I feel like it started off, at least when it was first reported, it was, like, going to be 100% comedy, and all these stars were attached, and then it's, like, all of a sudden, like, I mean, I didn't laugh once. So I wonder, like, who made the decision along the line that was like, no, let's make this somewhat more like Elysium and District 9, like a little bit more serious.
And just to add on to that, too, all the posters and whatever else, they're very child-friendly. Or not child-friendly, but they've got, like, you know, markers and whatever else.
Yeah.
He's got his name Chappie in the block letters.
The idea is to convey that he's a young learning robot. But at the same time, I agree with kind of the trailer marketing because there's two trailers out there that sell two different movies. And honestly, I didn't know what this movie was going to be going in. I knew very little beyond just it was called Chappie. I didn't know where the plot was going or what have you. And I wouldn't be able to tell you even after watching the trailers but not seeing the movie because, like, one sells, this kind of this like fun look, this robot thing's happening, the other side is like this hard sci-fi robot action movie, and it's like, so it basically describes thoughts on the movie, whereas the movie doesn't know what it wants to be. So I guess the trailer's got it right because they're like, well, we got all this, what do we do with it?
Let's capture all audiences.
To speak to Jordan's point about the possible studio interference, I don't know, because I mean, if it was a lot more expensive, I could see that as a possibility, but I feel like Blomkamp keeps his budgets low and, you know, his writer, producer, director on these movies because he's given kind of enough length on the leash here to do what he wants and turn something in. I'd be curious. I wouldn't be necessarily surprised, but at the same time, looking at District 9, then looking at Elysium, then looking at this, they feel like very similar movies. I feel like if anything, it's just he's not very good at this kind of material, at this kind of handling a kind of satirical edge that works in a more lighthearted spirit. Like District 9 did do that. I think it had a, you know, it was this apartheid allegory that had a lot of satire in it. Not, you know, not humorous satire, just kind of a sharp edge in terms of how it addresses the past of South Africa by way of this sci-fi alien film. And then Elysium, a little more foolhardily, tried to handle like healthcare and economy, which isn't a which isn't a terrible idea. It's just his delivery on that wasn't the tightest, which he even admitted to this past week when he was, or like 2 weeks ago, he was just talking about how he wasn't totally confident in the story of Elysium.
Yeah, he was pretty explicit in the way that he
and
said
I have this
too,
movie, and I've so. Seen him talk where he's, you know, this is a much more personal film for him than Elysium was. So it seems like it's the story he wanted to tell. I just don't know if he was the right person to tell it, which is a shame, I guess.
Also should be noted, and this is something that I realized in the movie and I just remembered, and it's kind of nitpicky, but it's like, how is Dev Patel's character not, how is he like still in like a crappy cubicle when he's essentially the whole reason that that company exists?
Yeah.
Like any person who created that huge invention that an entire city of South Africa is using, I feel like he would be almost a C-level exec, if not right below. And he's like sitting in a crappy cubicle that's like
getting guns in his face.
Yeah. I don't understand why he didn't just make his own robot at home, because he has those small little toys that follow him and give him
he's
stuff.
Got, yeah, and he's got Wall-E and...
yeah. I was like, well, why didn't Dave Patel just build off of these?
They weren't smart enough.
It's a very dumb movie, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
All right, I think we talked plenty about Chappie.
Chappie.
Chappie! With all that in mind, would... What, Jordan Rath, when would you say people should go see Chappie?
When it's on Netflix, and if you have some time.
Grout?
Yeah, at home. Blu-ray. I think it's an interesting movie to see with a bunch of people. I think there's a lot to talk about afterwards.
Abe?
Yeah, I'd kind of just say cable television.
Yeah, if you could see it in a dollar theater. I mean, it's a good-looking movie, and it certainly, I agree that it's interesting to talk about it. It just goes so wrong so quickly. It goes wrong pretty quickly, by the way. Like, it did take me long to be like, oh, yeah, this isn't a good movie. Like, I wasn't sitting there.
Well, there's that painful exposition in, like, the first 3 minutes that goes on
forever.
There's
no ending of this movie, by the way. Like, there's an ending in terms of, like, it ends. But, I mean...
Well, the ending doesn't match up with the beginning.
It doesn't match up with the beginning, but there's also, there's no repercussions for one character, besides, well, you're beat up a little, and I it's more of like, we'll end on a cool shot that implies something, and that means ending, although it's like, wait, what? Where else? What happened? Are the robots back? I had so many questions at the end of this.
It's actually gonna lead into Terminator Genisys.
Chappie. Oh god.
Everything that happens in the last 20 minutes, that's the reason to see the movie. It's just so crazy.
It's the kind of thing where I feel like Ex Machina is going to handle a lot of this material better. At least I hope it does.
I hope it does. Yeah. Right. Yeah, and I think that again, if you work on the storyline, it should be better, but okay. Anyway, yeah.
You kind of almost wonder if there's going to be a sequel, because it kind of sets itself up to be its own film, but at the same time I could easily see
If there was going to be a sequel, I can only hope that it's a Nickelodeon cartoon series on Saturday mornings that features Dee Antwoord as the score and the voices in Chappie's, you know, Chappie Babies or something running around.
Chappie Babies.
I was more thinking, not to give anything away, of a buddy cop
that
film.
Too. There you go. Yeah. I know where you're going with that. Okay. Let's move on.
I like that.
I won't say anything
else. Before we get
to
more fun, let's get to our sponsor real quick, which is also fun because today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Hey. You can get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/podcast. There are over thousands and thousands of titles to choose from for your various MP3 device-type players. And I have a book to recommend this week. It is called Robot Dreams by Isaac Asimov. This is a compilation of a lot of Asimov's short stories about robotics. Just read the little description here. A robot psychologist must outwit a machine determined to stay hidden in Little Lost Robot. A woman's talent for light verse overshadows her true accomplishments with her robot servants. The last question presented to computer after computer over 100 billion years may remain forever unanswered. There's 17 more of these like little short stories involved by Asimov, who of course wrote I, Robot, and developed the Lost Robotics, among other, you know, kind of robot lore out there. But that's just one of the many things you can find at audibletrial.com/outnowpodcast. So be a winner. Read or listen. audibletrial.com/outnowpodcast. Back from that, let's do a little feedback here. Let's do an out now feedback.
Feedback.
Because, of course, we'll go over the various questions and answers that we received on our Facebook page, facebook.com/outnowpodcast, where we ask the listeners and fans what, you know, just various questions. They give us some answers, then they ask us some questions, we give them some answers. I'm going to start this off. First question, do you want an Alien 5, and what do you think about this whole business in general? So this comes as, because Neil Blomkamp is, of course, talking about how Fox has basically proved that he's going to be the director of Alien 5, or whatever it's going to be called. He did a lot of kind of concept artwork for it and what have you, and apparently Sigourney Weaver is going to be involved as well, so Ripley's back. And so with that question, you guys can answer too, and I'll let me read the responses first. Manish says, yes and no. I am hopeful they go back to what made Alien a classic, and I'd love to see Sigourney Weaver in the lead sci-fi role again. But even so, sadly, most Alien fans aren't as forgiving. No matter what they do, the hate will be strong. George says, I would much rather see another Alien movie than the Blade Runner sequel they have planned. And Alessandro says, I'm cautiously optimistic. With the exception of other movies in the Alien franchise, have been disappointing to say the least. I think with the exception of like the first two, if I had to guess. So I'm eager to see Neil Blomkamp try, since he is clearly passionate about the series. It could go either way. This movie might end up being another Superman Returns or another X-Men First Class. So I'm going to wait and see what happens and try not to prejudge it. Jordan, you have thoughts on this?
I guess I've never been. I mean, I've seen the first two Aliens. Haven't seen the other two. And I admit that they're good, but I saw them far after they came out, probably when I was too young. I should probably rewatch them. So it's something that I get why people are excited. I just hope for Neil's sake that he's able to pull it off, kind of, especially after Chappie. I hope that he kind of regains his composure a little bit. And I mean, I hope for the best. I know that they kind of revitalized the franchise a teeny bit last year, because I guess they had a pretty good video game, but I'm looking forward to it. I hope he leans more towards the horror side of it. Although I hope there's some action in it as well, but I feel like that's kind of what made the first two so strong.
Now you say that Resurrection's like the best of all four movies, right? That's you.
Well, what yeah.
What do you think of all this?
I'm excited for it. I don't really care about it that much. I love Alien, Aliens. I even love Alien 3, and I do like Alien Resurrection. I don't think it's great, but I enjoy it. So if it's a bad movie, won't bother me. If it's a good movie, well then great for Neil, because I'd like to see him do more original sci-fi pictures. And if it does well, hopefully we get more. So, you know, I'm rooting for the movie, of course. I never want someone to fail, so I hope he does well.
That's a good way to put it, because I never want anyone to fail either. Like, I'm never one to, you know, I don't mind sequels. I say this constantly. It's not sequels and remakes and prequels and reboots and what have you that get me angry. It's bad movies that I don't like. So I'd rather see good movies regardless of where their origins stem from. And if anything, I just would hope Neil Blomkamp has someone else writing Alien 5 while he directs it, because he's certainly a good visual director. It's just his storytelling has been coming up very well in these recent years.
Yeah. And I'd rather see 5 more Chappies than another, like, RoboCop remake.
Yes. Abe, you have any thoughts on this?
For the most part, I'm cautiously optimistic as well. I'm kind of going to wait and see, I suppose. You know, I'm excited because, again, you guys have mentioned the visual direction. I've seen the concept artwork. Looks pretty neat. I'm glad that Sigourney Weaver is going to be coming back. But I don't want it to be like a fan homage kind of thing where they're just going to put up a bunch of stuff and make you say, oh, yeah, I remember that part. Or remember that one time from Aliens 2, and, oh, look, a cameo by Newt. You know, it's like, I'd rather see something original and not so much have to pay a lot of fan service. Right. Next question we have is, what's your favorite good robot? Adam writes Wally. He's pretty good. He kind of cleaned up the Earth by himself, right? Willie writes Android 18 from Dragon Ball Z.
Ah, okay, I was wondering.
Ryan writes Wally. Rob writes, I have to agree with Ryan. And
I like what I like what our listeners agree with each other. The good community that we have out now.
Jason writes Red Tornado. Tammy writes Johnny Five. Philip has the Iron Giant. He's pretty good. Manish writes R2-D2. He's a good bro.
I've been saying that for years.
Lastly, Justin writes Sunny, but I always have a special place in my heart for Optimus Prime.
Sunny from iRobot.
Ah, okay. I didn't know that one.
Not a Sonny Corleone, who many people thought James Caan was actually a robot in that film, but I'm here to disprove right now.
He went to an electrical shock. That's why he couldn't pay the toll booth on time.
Yeah, that's the gif that they have him being electrically shocked.
Yeah, exactly.
Bad robot. Philip says Jape Man wins, because I'll get to that, I guess. Manish has Hal. Rob has, once again, I agree with someone else here, HAL 9000, though technically he's a computer, he's still AI. I agree, not really a robot. Jason writes, the Terminator. Mike Jones writes, the T-1000. Competitors. And J-Man has, the bad robot from J.J. Abrams' bad robot logo, because someone had to say it, so.
That guy's just, like, running through the cornfields pretty spookily.
Bad robot!
There's also Bill Brenner from Westwood.
He goes to UCLA.
He goes to Westwood. Wow. Oh. Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Dave Patel.
Dave Patel.
I watched the movie Yul Brynner and Dave Patel goes to UCLA.
Next question we have is, favorite villain turns from actors who usually play this good guys?
Hugh Jackman.
Friend of the show.
The villain.
Moose controller. Yeah. Friend of the show, Maxwell writes, Matt Damon, the talented Mr. Ripley, and Tom Hanks in Road to Perdition.
Oh, I'm the bad guy there.
Scott has Harrison Ford in What Lies Beneath.
I killed my wife, but I did crash a plane.
And his wife.
Philip writes, Benedict, Timothy, Carlton, Cumberbatch in Star Trek Into Darkness. Names. Yeah. Spencer writes, Christoph Waltz in Glorious Bastards. Manish writes, Heath Ledger in Dark Knight. Tyler writes, Robin Williams in 1 Hour Photo. Adam writes, Tom Cruise in Collateral, and Steve Martin in The Spanish Prisoner.
The Spanish Prisoner call. That's a nice one. That's a good David Mamet movie.
April writes, Denzel in Training Day. Oscar-winning performance. And lastly, Rob writes, Henry Fonda in Once Upon a Time in the West.
Classic pick. All right, so then we are asked some questions here. Tyler asks, what do you think the future trend of horror films will be? For example, the 80s were the decade of the slashers, the 30s were the universal monsters, and lately it seems to be exorcism or demonic movies. I really like horror films and am really wondering where the genre could go from here, good or bad. First off, I should say, anyone that likes the show and maybe is a recent listener or just missed October, we had 5 bonus episodes in our last October. Where we discussed horror throughout the decades. They were focused on every decade of horror films, and we had some fun guests on those shows, and they were a lot of fun to record. So we've talked plenty about these various decades of horror and even got into kind of where we think things are going next. As far as where they are going, not sure. Horror always kind of comes in waves in terms of the popular thing on the street. Right now, demonic.
Social media.
Social media is a good place to take it, I guess, given kind of current trends.
Well, they've got that Unfriend trailer.
Unfriend,
like,
this
looks interesting.
I mean, found footage, I wouldn't say it's
I think that it's kind of on the decline, though.
I mean, it's not happening as nearly as much, so that's, you know, it's fair to say.
I would kind of go and venture into the topic of kind of like the real stuff, like the home invasion kind of movies. I'm curious to see if they would do that as like a big wave.
Well, that's
or something.
Kind of been. It's not as prevalent. It's not
all
as
throughout
as others have been in recent years. But you have had like The Purge. I mean, is essentially home invasion. The first one's home invasion. The second one's a little more expanded, but still has that kind of. That's its backbone, I guess, because it takes place in a semblance of reality, so to speak.
You know, I hope witches make a comeback. There aren't enough good witch movies.
Yeah.
That's a good point. I mean, Hocus Pocus can't stand there alone.
It's not as frightening as it was in 1993.
I'm not sure if I remember 100% correctly, but isn't that kind of where the Paranormal Activity series was going?
It was. I mean, it's a mix of kind of demonic.
And I think it comes back
to there's a witch coven involved in the kind of demonic activities taking place.
Yeah. When you get to Paranormal Activity 3, that's kind of.
That was so scary.
That was really spooky.
Those old ladies.
The camera turns on. It's just like, what?
Three's the highlight at this point. Because it's like the most.
Agreed.
I completely agree. Three is so scary.
I like the series in general. We've talked about this in the past. But I think three, because I don't care about the found footage aspect of it. Like, it's like, no one thinks this is real. Who cares? Like, I'd rather just see a better made movie than one that really tries, you know, hard to represent the fact that maybe this happened. Like, who cares? I just want to see a good movie. And that three with that rotating fan camera and all these things, like,
God. There's a lot of clever things in that one that kind of made me jump out of my screen and squirm a little bit. Question about that before we leave that topic. What did you guys think of the marked ones? Is it kind of like,
it has shotguns against ghosts, which is always cool. But I've been saying that the odd numbered Paranormal Activity movies are the best ones, because I think 2 and 4 are the weaker ones of the series, while 1, 3, and Marked Ones are, like, fun to me.
Interesting.
It's not like that.
I thought Marked Ones moved the story forward the most out of all of them as far as the mythology, which I thought was the best part. I thought it was probably the least scary, but as far as plot and that twist at the end, now I just remember it. That twist at the end is nuts.
Yeah, it has a great ending in terms of, like, if you're a fan of if you're a fan of the kind of the mythology of the Paranormal Activity movies, there's a really good ending of Marked Ones.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. And last question from Jason is, now that we have a Shaft reboot, who would you like to be as John Shaft?
Guy Courtney.
That would be amazing.
I thought you said a chef reboot. I was like, Chef Jess Cam.
Guy Courtney.
Traveling with his son.
Let's see. Who could play
Australian Shaft
now? Like it's not, doesn't have to be young, because Shaft, I mean, Richard Roundtree wasn't, you know, young when he was when he was Shaft originally. He was like in his 30s or 40s, maybe.
Sam Jackson
to that point. Yeah. He wasn't young Sam. It wasn't Goodfellas Sam Jackson. That's the reference I go to for young Sam Jackson.
I was like, he wasn't coming to
he
America.
Wasn't juice Sam
Jackson
back then.
Juice.
Let's go over all of Sam Jackson's movies. Let's take a
I feel like Idris Elba could. He was pretty good on The Wire, and he does a pretty good American accent when he wants to.
That's one where it's like he's
Morgan Freeman.
It's like, do I need to see him as Shaft also? Like.
That's true. Yeah,
he's a solid actor for sure. I'm happy to see Idris Elba as anything. I'm happy to see him as, you know. I couldn't think of a fun example, so I'm just gonna stop there and let Abe edit that part.
sure.
Bing
Rames. That's not gonna be edited.
Bing Rames is like, he was Kojak for a while, which was weird. God.
Wesley Snipes.
Boom.
Always been on black. That's true. What about, like, Michael K. Williams? Get Omar from The Wire.
Oh, that'd be interesting. I thought you were going to go with what I was thinking, Michael J. White. And I was like,
he's Black Dynamite. There's, like, what? There's no
he's
reason.
He's Black Dynamite,
no
I know, which
Shaft.
Is the black
no
quotation.
Yeah. what other solid black actors are there?
That would be interesting, Michael K. Williams, if he had him as Shaft.
He's such a character actor at this point with him, so it seems like he'd play like the guy Shaft would like need to get info.
He's
from.
A
he'd
Shaft's like, right hand man, or the guy
he'd
gets
be the Buster
gets
Rhymes
beat up.
Samuel L. Jackson Shaft in the Shaft.
Shaft.
What about the guy who, not to give anything away on Walking Dead, but who recently left Walking Dead? I don't know the actor's name, but
Wire actor actually, Chad Coleman. Is the actor.
Yeah, okay.
It's pretty much, I think, Abe, we're agreeing on pretty much any black actor from The Wire.
Anybody from The Wire? Oh, Chad Coleman is on The Wire.
Wendell
interesting.
Pierce.
Wendell Pierce.
Yeah. Yeah, he'd be like, Shaft. So I guess the moral of this question is to watch The Wire, as seems to come up often on this podcast.
That'd be great. Right.
I think that's it for feedback, Abe.
Oh.
Feedback.
Now
I think it might be a time for something else.
For maybe some games!
Beep, boop, beep.
Aaron has a xylophone.
Okay, so I have a game for you guys this week. And I know you're like, there's a game too? We got that brilliant music just then. But yes, in fact, there is a game.
We give the people what they want.
Yeah, that's right. This game is called I Quote, I Star, I Plot. And basically, I have a number of robot-themed movies here, and I'm going to, for the first one, I'm going to read I Quote, which is a quote from the film, I Star, which is the last name of one of the stars from the film, and I Plot, which is a very brief summary of the plot. And you have to guess, from those three clues, you have to guess what movie I'm referring to. Then, after that, the winner of each prior question gets to choose either quote, star, or plot, and I will read one of those things.
Interesting.
And you will try to figure it out from there, or I'll, you know, give the other two as well. You know, we're taking them along.
Choose your own adventure, huh?
So I'm happy with this.
This is a complicated game.
Robots are complicated beings. So for the first one, I'm going to read all three, but then the next one, whoever wins this one gets to choose which one. So just when if you know the answer, just shout out your name and then say the answer.
Yeah.
Go with Grout and Wrath, by the way, on those. here's the first one. Roll out the beef. Yeah.
Abe. Optimus Prime.
What's the name of the movie?
Or Transformers.
Jordan. Oh, God.
I'll give it to him this time.
I was going to steal it.
Okay, so it is Transformers. By the way, my plot was, they are more than what your ocular cavity suggests. That's
pretty
I
good.
Okay, so...
That could be any Transformers movie.
Jordan, shut up.
I'm going to go with the quote.
Okay.
I quote.
When people were still killed by people. Yes.
Jordan.
Yeah.
Rap.
Is
this iRobot? Nice.
All right.
Went out on a limb there. Let's go with starring
Hamilton.
Jordan Rath.
The Terminator is the correct answer.
Ah,
Linda Hamilton.
Linda Hamilton.
Linda, yeah. Let's shake it up and do plot.
This officer takes some assembly. Yeah.
Jordan Rath.
Oh.
RoboCop. Jordan Rath has this game down.
He's on a roll here.
Let's do quote.
This is like the toughest one for quote. Join us and live in peace, or pursue your course and face obliteration.
Grout, Blade Runner.
I'll say the...
Say it one more time.
Join us and live in peace, or pursue your course and face obliteration. I'm going to read the others. The star, this won't help you. Rennie. The plot, Mr. Alien goes to Washington and brings a robot.
Oh.
Grout, do you think you know it?
I know. The data system. Okay. Oh.
Here's the next one. Well, actually, Grout, you choose.
Plot.
The workers on the bottom want to come up to the top. Yeah?
Grout. Oh my god. Oh my god. They Live.
Nope.
Oh wait, those are aliens. Never mind.
This is probably the toughest one.
Robots?
The workers on the bottom want to come to the top.
I will say it's a silent film. We're running along. I'm gonna go. It's Metropolis. That's Metropolis. There's no real quote. Well, there's a quote, but it's like the silent movie, so I could have just said nothing to like be fun, but I did have a quote from it. It's just that you're not going to get it from that.
Classic Rennie Harlan. I star.
Ford.
Oh, Grout, Blade Runner.
Yes.
Yeah, that one.
I didn't
ready,
kill
yeah.
that robot.
You're pretty excited.
I was going to kill the robot.
What else you got?
Quote. Plot, star.
Okay, quote.
What's wrong with...
I wasn't sure if you were running out. Quote.
What's wrong with Wolfie?
Abe!
Yep, Terminator 2. Is the... I chose the most obscure quote possible from Terminator 2.
What's Love that quote.
Wolfie? I can't hear you.
Your foster parents are dead. cast, star. Or actor.
Garland.
Star.
This is not the one you should have chosen star for.
Yeah, no, I was like, that's pretty obscure for me.
Here's the quote. Direct.
Okay.
Oh, Grout. Wally.
Correct answer.
Yes.
The plot, by the way, was he's been taking out the trash for decades and gets a step up.
Wah, wah. All
right, I quote.
I am not a gun. We mentioned this movie in the last segment. Here comes the star. Diesel. Yep.
Jordan Rath.
Iron Giant.
Iron Giant
is the correct answer.
let's do plot.
He wants to be a real boy. Yeah.
Jordan Rath. Artificial intelligence.
That's the correct answer. Here comes the last one. Get in your game, Abe.
I know. Well, I got the Wolfie question.
Yeah, everyone knows that one.
Oh, right. Pick one.
Oh, I thought it was the last one. Yeah, I still gotta pick that. Quote.
Malfunction. Need input.
Grout.
Short circuit is the correct answer. This might be tough now. I gotta count these. Let's see. Abe lost. That was quick counting.
nothing new there.
Okay, I got 5 for Jordan Rath. Let's count the Grouts. My favorite reality show, by the way. Let's count the credits.
On Bravo.
Jordan Rath is our winner by 1 point.
Woo! Woo!
Awesome. I'd like to thank my parents, friends.
Good job, though. Good job, guys. That was a fun game. I liked it.
That was good. That was fun.
All right. Now let's do a little Out Now Presents What's Out Now. These are movies coming out on Blu-ray or DVD this week, and we have a few here. First up is Night at the Museum, Secret of the Tomb, which I enjoyed, actually. That was fun.
Oh, okay.
Let's see. Next up is Listen Up, Philip. This is a movie with Jason Schwartzman and Elizabeth Moss. Did anybody see this movie? Jordan, did you see this? Jordan, did you see this movie?
No, but it's 99 cents on iTunes this week to rent.
Which movie is this again? Men, Women, and Children?
No, Listen Up, Philip. It's this indie that came out last year. Both Schwartzman and Moss are really good, but Moss in particular, she's really good in that movie. I'd recommend for Woody Allen crowd, I would say. You'd probably appreciate things.
Okay. More.
Next up, we have Legend of Korra Book 4 hitting the Blu-ray this week.
Hitting Blu-ray. That? I'm not even there yet. I'm going to sell Book 3.
It's a solid wrap-up of the series. I'll say that.
Great.
The Sound of Music 50th Anniversary Edition comes out to Blu-ray this week.
Starring Lady Gaga?
No.
Great.
Yeah, that happens. And let's see. The Breakfast Club 30th Anniversary Edition. Hey.
30 years.
That's happening. And lastly, I have not seen this movie, but just saying the title makes me think we should do a commentary for it. It is called Wolf Cop. comes out to Blu-ray this week. It's about a detective that becomes a werewolf and still wants to solve crime.
That sounds like a Blumkamp film.
Wait, no, I have seen the trailer for this.
For Wolf Cop.
I've seen the trailer for this. This movie looks ridiculous, but also really fun, so I might have to watch it. We'll have to get back to the listeners for this.
All right, so that's what's out now. Next up is Extremely Cool. These are movies currently streaming on Netflix that we want to recommend to listeners because we were asked to recommend more movies based off of Netflix or streaming services. And Abe, did you have anything for this?
Days of Thunder is on Amazon Prime Streaming.
I'm going to recommend the new series from Tina Fey that debuted on Netflix this past Friday, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. This is Tina Fey's follow-up series of 30 Rock. For some reason, NBC was like, we don't want to follow up to one of our most successful series from the last decade, so we should say no to this. And so Netflix picked up the slack,
right.
And they're like, yes, we do want this, and you're hilarious, and it's proven to be true, because it is quite a funny show. Very much, if you're a fan of 30 Rock, there's no reason you'll not like Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. It stars Ellie Kemper from The Office as a... She's a young woman who was a member of a cult that was living underground for years and years, and only recently found out that things actually weren't bad on the surface and left, and is now living a new life in New York. But it's a very funny show. People that like Tina Fey or 30 Rock or just, you know, want to laugh, check it out. It's on Netflix now, all 13 episodes. That was extremely cool. Next week we're talking about Cinderella.
Ella.
Thank you. This is, of course, the latest from director Kenneth Branagh, who just can't stop now. I mean, after Jack Ryan and Thor, he's like, I gotta keep making movies, guys. We have this one, which stars Downton Abbey's Lily James and Kate Blanchett and Rob Stark from Game of Thrones as Prince Charming. So there you go. Cinderella. Coming up next week, that's what we're gonna talk about on the show. Yes, we will answer the question of how many Dutch angles there are in Cinderella.
Well, I mean, it's a Kenneth Branagh movie, so I would not suspect that there would be fewer than zero.
There's a Branagh's dozen, which is, of course, 47. last thing here before we wrap up, what should people go see now, and what do you plan to see next? Jordan Grout, what should people go and see in theaters right now?
Go see Paddington.
Ooh, good choice. What are you going to see next?
Cinderella.
All right. Jordan Rath, what should people go see now?
I think people should go see Kingsman. I know that they have, and that's my favorite movie of the year so far, I would have to say. And it's doing pretty good at the box office, which is good for a sequel. So I would say keep supporting that film, especially if you haven't seen it yet. As far as seeing next, I'll probably go see both Cinderella and Run All Night next weekend. Hopefully Run All Night is a little bit better than Neeson's last outing. So
yeah. I hope so too.
I forgot about that. Go see McFarlane USA because, you know, help support California? Maybe. And what I'm going to see next is the Cinderella, or actually tomorrow, I'm going to go see What We Do in the Shadows.
I would certainly recommend What We Do in the Shadows and Wild Tales, if you can find it. Yeah, I'm probably going to see Run All Night next because I can't get enough of that Neeson stuff.
Right. Everyone loves that Joel Kinnaman.
He's the new Jai Courtney, I think. No.
Is he?
I don't know. Well, we've talked about like them being starring in like the Explandables or something with him and Courtney and Garrett Hedlund and Sam Worthington and like Liam Hemsworth, just all these, you know, generic white guys.
All the guys who were once dubbed like.
There's apparently going to be an Expendables TV series, by the way. What would that be about?
Starring Taylor Kitsch.
Starring who?
Can I say it?
Oh, Taylor
Kitsch. Starring Taylor Kitsch.
I'd feel bad for Taylor Kitsch because he's a legit good actor.
Yeah, he's pretty decent.
He's my favorite among the bland white guy actors that we've gotten of these years.
Isn't Taylor Kitsch going to be in True Detective?
Yes, he is. Is he?
Yeah.
Really?
Interesting. Yeah.
He and Vince Vaughn, who desperately needs something like True Detective, and
Colin
Farrell,
do.
Who I always like in things. So, you know, it's like, good on him. He's choosing a good project. So there you go.
Yeah, I do like Colin.
All right. I think with all that said, that's going to do it for this week's episode of Out Now with Aaron and Abe. So you can find more of my work on my personal blog, thecodeofzeke.com. You can find all my written movie reviews, as well as starting this week, rantlifestyle.com for all my various movie-related entertainment news articles. This is weird to say. I haven't said this before. You can also find me on Twitter at Aaron's PS4. Abe?
You can find more fun stuff at walrusmoose.blogspot.com and twitter.com/walrusmoose. Hashtag, I don't know.
Jordan Rath, where can people find more of your work online?
So you can find more of my work, movie reviews and game reviews, at rathsreviews.com.
And Jordan Grau, which dumpster can people find you chewing out of this week?
That only happened once.
You can go to Twitter at AmsterdamChap, or you can go to, this week, you can go to Why So Blue, and probably Thursday you'll see a great review of the new Air Bud movie.
Good. Awesome. You can find all the episodes of Out Now, Theron and Abe on iTunes and at Stitcher, as well as at hhwlod.com. That is the fun podcast network that hosts our show, along with other fun shows, including the Walking Dead TV podcast, DC TV podcast, and other fun shows about games and TV and comics and stuff.
You can also find our episodes over at outnow.podomatic.com, as well as soundcloud.com/outnowpodcast.
Email us at outnowpodcast@gmail.com. Let us know your thoughts on Chappie, or just send us an audio recording of you saying Chappie.
Chappie. You can also interact with us over at facebook.com/outnowpodcast, or you can tweet us at twitter.com/outnow_podcast.
Or our Tumblr page, outnowpodcast.tumblr.com, or feel free to use the voicemail line, where you can also record the word Chiappie at 972-798-3830. So, Jordan, Jordan, thank you both for joining us this week.
Thank you, Jordan. Thank you, Jordan.
Oh, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Nice meeting you, Jordan.
Oh, it's been a pleasure meeting you as well.
Hello, John.
Hello, oh, hello, John. Dino DMA.
So, until next week, when we discuss Cinderella and the pumpkin and the godmothers and the evil stepsisters and the eviler stepmother and the Prince Charming and other things of that nature.
Glass shards
and especially Stellan Skarsgård's mustache. That's going to do it for this week's episode. So, until next time, so long.
And goodbye. She's no city girl, but she wanna live out the life. Mama don't want her leaving, cause the baby don't need to rock the boat. Mama, you don't have to worry, you think everything new is scary. See, that kind of kid, he ain't really afraid, he just wanna take her out tonight.
Chappie, Chappie, Chappie,
Chappie,
Chappie,
Chappie,
Chappie,
Chappie, Chappie, Chappie, Chappie, Chappie, Chappie, Chappie, Chappie, Chappie, Chappie, Chappie, Chappie, Chappie, Chappie, Chappie, Chappie, Chappie, Chappie, Chappie, Chappie, Chappie, Chappie, Chappie, Chappie, Chappie, Chappie, Chappie, Chappie, Chappie, Chappie, Chappie, Chappie, Chappie, Chappie, Chappie, Chappie, Chappie, Chappie, Chappie, Chappie, Chappie, Chappie, Chappie, Chappie, Chappie, Chappie, Chappie, Chappie, Chappie, Chappie, Chappie, Chappie, Chappie, Chappie, Chappie, Chappie, Chappie, Chappie, Chappie, Chappie, Chappie, Chappie, Chappie, Chappie, Chappie, Chappie, Chappie, Chappie, Chappie, Chappie, Chappie, Chappie Chappy.
Chappies.
Okay, Chappy.